We meditate today on that favorite shepherd psalm, Psalm 23. You've heard the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Comfort those who weep and mourn. May the joy of hope return. Those who are cast down, lift up. Make them strong in faith and hope. Amen. In the name of Him who loved us and has freed us from our sins, my dear fellow sheep of the Good Shepherd. Last night, a voicemail from a pastor friend of mine in Woodville, Wisconsin. We're working on a project unrelated to this memorial service, but he had to take the opportunity to wish me the Lord's blessings in my preparation and make this final comment. Remind them of God's great love for us. One sentence. Remind them of God's great love for us. And it left me thinking how blessed I am to know so many God-fearing men who think that way, who have one thing to leave on a message to me that's really more important than anything else. Remind them of God's great love for us. God-fearing men who use all their resources of time, talent, treasure during this time of grace on this earth. Because there's really just one reason why God leaves us here. So that others from those other flocks out there, the other sheep Jesus talked about in John chapter 10, these others may also come in and be part of this one flock with one shepherd, the one who says, I am the good shepherd. And how blessed I am to think that that's the kind of man I will always treasure in memory until I see him again. My brother, my friend, Chris Huber. I would not have known about what this psalm is really talking about, Psalm 23, until I was given a copy years ago of this little book. Used it since the 1990s here, preached two summer sermons back to back, about 5 years apart. We all got this book. It's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. It's referenced in the copies of the sermon on the worship table, or you can go on the website and find it. It's just one of those books I believe every Christian ought to read, every pastor in particular. A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, written by a boy who grew up in East Africa among shepherd boys who were very much taking care of sheep the way David did, who wrote Psalm 23 1,000 years before Christ. The same type of shepherding Jesus was thinking of when he said, I am the good shepherd. Much different than what that shepherd Philip Keller encountered when he moved to the West and became a scientist into agriculture in Canada and the United States. One of the things I found intriguing was how different Western shepherds and Eastern shepherds will lead sheep. In the West, I've seen it. Ranchers can whistle to those dogs, the collies, and they can round up sheep. Maybe you remember that, some of you growing up. But we're driving sheep with dogs. Eastern shepherds can walk into a whole fold, corral of sheep, and just start talking and walk out. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They know me. They follow me. They shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. I give them eternal life. To be able to say, as our brother and friend Chris Huber could say, the Lord is my shepherd. That is wealth beyond belief. Riches beyond riches, religion beyond religion. It's the grace of God down through the ages, from the very beginning and before time began. His plan. And this psalm, as Philip Keller explains, is all about the shepherd, the good shepherd, taking the sheep from the ranch house down on the plain and up through the valleys where the water runs, the easiest way to the mountaintops, and where the water runs clear and the grass is fresh and green, up through the valleys to the high mountain pastures, the meadows of endless summer. It traces that way with the skill of a shepherd and insights that the Holy Spirit wants to share, at least in part, today. I promise I won't try to preach the whole book to you, but I do encourage you to read it and memorize it, this psalm. When they first heard it in the ancient Hebrew, it sounded like this: Adonai ro'i lo exar. In the mother tongue, the heart language of Chris Huber or my granddad, who passed away in 2003, they would still remember it in the German. Der Herr ist mein Hirte, mir wird's nichts mangeln. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's this quiet contentment, this serenity of those who know God through His Son, Jesus Christ, the only name, He says, above every name, the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the heart of the Father is through His Son. But so easy that little children can follow that voice, follow their good shepherd, and say, the Lord is my shepherd. There are those who remind us of God's great love when they walk in the room. Chris Huber was one of those. Quiet deportment. He would like that word, wouldn't he? Deportment. He just had that way. And there was always that calm serenity. A huge blessing to all of us as Christians, me as a pastor, a Christian, and us as a congregation, to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Sheep thrive best in dry, rocky, arid areas where they're not going to be infected so much with diseases, because they're really susceptible. Of all the animals, domestic, the ones we try to take care of, sheep take the most care. People don't realize that. You can't just let them roam. And in dry, rocky areas, pastures just don't grow by themselves. It takes a huge amount of effort on the part of the shepherd to clear the rocks, pull the noxious weeds, plow deep to seed, and to make a pasture there. But that's the kind of loving care and skill we see in the one who is the Lord. He loves us first because He created us. He loves us secondly because He redeemed us, bought us back with His holy precious blood. But He's not done day by day. He constantly pours Himself out for us as a shepherd would, watching day and night over His sheep, sounding out that precious voice of the good shepherd so that we can hear and believe and be strengthened and filled with hope, because He's a good shepherd. You could love Him purely on the basis of the fact that He's so good, but how much more because He's so good to you, when you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Makes me lie down in green pastures so sheep can gain and grow and be at peace. He also leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. If sheep don't have enough water, they'll run around to distraction trying to find it. They feel it. But unfortunately, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Same Holy Spirit inspiring Isaiah the prophet to speak in those same terms. Ezekiel talks about the shepherd who says, I will, I will, I will, and you, my people, are the sheep of my pasture. All the prophets spoke this way. The Holy Spirit filling them with this beautiful picture and reminding them you can't just get water anywhere, not the kind that's going to make you healthy. We live in a day and age that is so spiritually promiscuous. We all talk about, you know, so spiritual, as if you can get water from any source. In the meantime, how many parents would really let their kids drink from their friends' cups, even that? Or just let them have polluted water in their cup? Who would do that? Spiritually? How can we be like those sheep that have to stop along the mountain pathway as the shepherd's trying to lead them, and he's very aware of where the clear water flows in the rivers along the way, but they have to stop and drink out of every mud puddle along the way? Because that's got to be the best water there at the time. And they don't feel bad when they first drink it. Because it takes a little time for the parasites, the nematodes, the flukes to grow inside their system and do the damage. And souls are very similar. He leads me to the quiet waters. He knows where the water flows clear and clean along the way as he treasured it up in his holy book. And there's nothing better. Some of you know this by experience. There is nothing better than to go out in the early morning with your good shepherd, when the dew is heavy on the grass, in those pastures he has so well prepared, it's knee deep, and the dew is as clean and pure as any water you can get anywhere, and sheep, even during the time of a drought, can survive for weeks and months on the dew off the grass when it's so heavy. And they're eating before dawn and a little after dawn, and then lying down in the shade, resting for the rest of the day, as you rest spiritually in your Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, when he restores your soul with good, clean water. The Lord is my shepherd, and even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod was used for discipline, the staff to show comfort and rescue. Like in Sunday school, the staff, the shepherd reaching down and lifting the little lamb off the ledge. I still remember that picture. But there's also the fact that the shepherd didn't necessarily want to touch that little lamb because his hands on there might make the mother, you, reject that lamb. And so there was this sense of just bringing that little lamb back to its mother. There's also the fact that the shepherd could walk along with his staff laid on the side of the sheep, almost like holding hands and walking together through whatever dark valleys led up to those high mountain pastures. And then there's the rod. You can do a Google search of knobkerry and you can see these. They're basically saplings that the shepherd boys still dig up when they're ready to take care of their father's flock. They're about 18 inches long. When they cut them off, they got to fit the hand, and they practice with these. The root ball on the bottom is the business end of the knob carry. It can be a deadly tool, or it can be used for a sheep that's just wandering off. It comes whistling through the air and thumps the thing. Let's get back here, back with your Lord. There were many years when Chris would tell you he was looking and looking, knowing his shepherd, still in God's grace, but looking. Till the Lord in his kindness brought him to where the water's clean and pure, and he loved it. He loved the pure pastures of God's word and would tell you every opportunity. Some of you know that. Golfing buddies, I won't tell you exactly what he called you sometimes, but he loved you. Loved so many. Because the Lord's love was there in him and that discipline of and the protection of thy rod and thy staff. Keller talks about one time when they were rolling rocks down a hill to scare some elephants out into the open so that he could take some pictures of them. And a cobra was coiled up, ready to strike as soon as they moved that rock. And he was doing this rock rolling with a Maasai shepherd boy. And before he could blink, the shepherd boy had killed the cobra with his rod, his knob carry. Split second. Hadn't even left his hand while they were moving rocks. So quickly the Lord Jesus watches out for us and our souls and our enemies. Chris on dialysis, serious physical concerns over past months. Not a word of complaint. No fear. Through the valley of the shadow of death, yes, Jesus went this way before. He died. He rose. He's leading us home to glory. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not fear as long as you are with me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, in the rim rocks above, the devil, the world, our sinful flesh, all there. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. That oil keeps the insects off. That's kind of a insecticide, I guess, that they use for sheep so that you're not bothered by the bot flies and all that stuff. They try to lay their eggs in the sheep's nose and all. That's other stories for another day. But I love the one why the shepherd would put the oil, which in the Bible is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. He put that oil on the sheep's head when they got to butting each other. Sheep can really be territorial, believe it or not. I heard once about a shepherd, I think, in the Ozarks, or I don't know, somewhere out that way, that was killed by his sheep. It happens. Well, sheep will get to butting each other, especially the rams, and so if they put enough of this greasy oil on their heads, it gets rather comical as they're trying to really go at each other and they just keep slipping off. And when we have the Good Shepherd teaching us from his word, we get that way too, that we can't keep butting heads as brothers and sisters in Christ. There's just that, why? What's the point? Because the Lord is my shepherd. And he anoints my head with oil so that my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. We live in a land where our Constitution guarantees life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In the Bible, it's turned around. For God's people, goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. In Isaiah, it says, gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Goodness and mercy that follow me all the days of my life finally catch up. But there's something also here about what do you leave behind? Do you leave goodness and mercy behind you? Is there love in your wake or bitterness? Is there kindness or resentment? Are there memories of those who recall your kind words, your blessings, your goodness, because you know the Lord is my shepherd? It is one of the things I will always love and treasure about my brother, Chris Huber, until I see him again in glory. We'll praise God forever for this, but he has left behind many blessings. Along with just reminding us of God's love by being around and with us, there were many times when he used his considerable stature and his talents of speaking to turn the tide in meetings when we really needed somebody to speak up. I vividly remember when we were trying to decide whether we needed to hire office help, that Chris stood up and very firmly told the brethren that in an organization this size, you cannot go without secretarial help, and then launched into how he always had help in his work as an administrator. Has to be there. When Chris got done, there was no other decision to be made. But see, I don't even remember or know about all the things that God did as he used his servant to leave behind a blessing of goodness and mercy. The other day, St. Croix Lutheran High School called to ask about a bouquet of flowers. That's when I found out that Chris was instrumental in starting their middle school. Chris never told me. There's only one name to glorify, the name of the Lord. The name the Lord made clear to Moses at Mount Sinai when he said, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. He does not leave the guilty unpunished. He shows love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments, but to those who hate him, to the 3rd and 4th generation of those who hate him, he will punish. He's a loving God. 1,000 generations, do the math, compared to 3 or 4. You can tell he really loves to bless. We are being blessed down through the ages, even in this psalm, 1,000 years before Christ. But for those who teach their children to sin, to rebel against God, for those who reject the witness of the Holy Spirit and the Lord is my shepherd, there's only one way to get rid of guilt and sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Reject that, your guilt is on you. But it's not God's fault. The only sin that's left anymore, because Jesus washed the rest away with his blood, the only sin that's left is unbelief. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved, Jesus says. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. He obviously wants us all in heaven with him someday because he shed his blood for us all. His blood surely shed for you as much as for me to wash my sins away, and surely for our brother, Chris Huber. Goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Among the treasures left behind are cards written for Christmas and Easter. Some of you were recipients of those as well. I'm going to let these words close us out here from a worship folder. I'll tell you where it came from in a minute here, but the back side of this worship folder, it says, "May the words of our lips fill our hearts and lives as we greet one another this Easter day. Good morning, Christ is risen. And may the white-robed and joyous guests of God answer from heavenly places above, he is risen indeed." Chris's letter, he apologized because it was a form letter, and this was written 21 days before he went home to glory. The Easter trivia was given to me years ago. It is printed on the Easter Sunday service program of my hometown church, Zion Lutheran, Eureka, South Dakota, on March 28th, 1948. He saved it all those years. At that time, I was a youth of 16, a junior in high school, thinking of going to college and possibly becoming a Lutheran pastor. This service was so memorable for me that I have kept it all these years. May its message be as meaningful to you as it has been to me all these 68 years. I wish you a glorious Easter and conclude with the wonderful refrain, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. With joy, Chris and Marlene. And with joy, we echo his faith. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen.